So we are today starting a small, brief, short series on friendship. So today I'm going to talk about friendship with God and what does that look like. So in John 15:15 in the NIV, it says, "I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you." That's a cool verse, and there's a lot there that, takes a lot of thinking and processing about. When I was in third grade, I went to a Christian school, and we had a teacher who needed some inner healing, but she was very big on fear of the Lord. And for my 7-year-old brain, that meant being afraid of God, like, oh, I'm scared. And so she slowly started to help us understand, like, healthy fear of the Lord, or sort of healthy. But that's like a huge foundational piece of what I thought relating to Jesus was about, was like, oh, I have to fear the Lord. And it was something that was confusing for me. And then she would read this verse in John 15, and I'm like, okay, I'm supposed to be God's friend, but I'm afraid of him, or I'm supposed to fear him, respect him, whatever. And for my 7-year-old brain, it's just like, what is going on? So I've had a journey of being able to kind of unpack that and work at figuring out what does it mean to be a friend of God. So again, John 15 in the Message version, "You are my friends when you do the things I command you. I'm no longer calling you servants because servants don't understand what their master is thinking and planning. No, I've named you friends because I've let you in on everything I've heard from the Father." And reading it in that translation for me is like a game changer. It's like he is calling us friends. It's such a privilege. You know, he has so many facets of relating. There's so many things about him. He's Father. He's our King. He's our Savior. But he's calling us friends. It's just so beautiful. So what does it mean to be a friend of God? Well, Janelle, that's a great question. Jesus' words in John 15 really show us that this isn't for just the spiritual elite or like the elders or the priests or whatever, but it's for all of us. It's for all of us who are choosing to follow Jesus, even third grade Janelle. So it's not a casual relationship. It's not like an acquaintance that we have in today's culture, but rather a relationship really rooted in love and trust and revelation. He wants to share his heart with us and hear our heart back, not just command us, but rather a back and forth relationship, a two-way street of communicating to each other. You know, in Exodus 33, it's talking about Moses, who spoke with God face to face as one speaks to a friend. That is a close friendship, right? You think about a friend that you're willing to be face to face talking, communicating with. I just think that's such a beautiful visual. So today I'm going to just talk about three components of friendships. Obviously, there's a bazillion, but I'm just going to focus on three that I consider are big and important in being a friend of God. So friendship requires proximity or closeness, nearness, right? Consistency in relationship, ongoing connection. You know, if we think about Jesus and how he spent his time with the disciples, they did everything together. They, you know, were fishing, they were playing, they were doing all kinds of things. And then he had like his three closest, like his bros, his ride or dies that they just did it all with. I think about the countless hours of talking and fighting. I mean, those smelly fishermen, they were something. And I also love to think about, how much do you think that they laughed together? Which one of them was kind of the ornery one that was always up to something, always pulling jokes? Like, they just spent countless hours together. And it wasn't all, you know, roses and sunshine. You better believe they were fighting and having all kinds of things come up. But they were in proximity to Jesus. I have a friend, Kathy Stott, and I've known her for 36 years. And we have spent countless hours together in proximity and relationship. She's one of those friends that when I ask her to call me, she does it right away because I don't do that often and she knows I need something. We've spent time having coffee together. We've spent time working on projects, you know, birthdays, celebrations, the sadness together of life, working, like the good, the bad, and the ugly. But Kathy and I are close in proximity because of our time, because of our communication. And we've made it a priority of friendship that I am going to pursue you, she's going to pursue me. And it takes work. There's times where I'm like, I don't really feel like this, but I know that it's something that's such a high value to me that I'm gonna do it anyway. So this human friendship, my friend Kathy, is beautiful and it takes time and effort, but how much more do you think that God, our Father, our good dad, desires proximity with us, desires to be with us and to have that heart connection, those talks, those, you know, walks in the woods, those coffee dates on your back porch or whatever. It's so important to him. One of the biggest tells in my life is when I am not or haven't been in close proximity to Jesus. I would dare say if I asked you to raise your hands, which I'm not, it would be very obvious to most of you, like, yep, we can tell when Janelle has not been in proximity, where I haven't started my day with him, I haven't been close, I haven't, or I'm running ahead, or I'm doing all the talking and none of the listening. It's just so obvious. So I promise you, when I'm off or grumpy or snitty, running around like a chicken with my head cut off, it's because for me, I haven't done that. And it's very obvious. So if you notice that, be kind, but you can say, hey, looks like you maybe need to go take a minute and be with Jesus. Be kind to me, but say that to me, except not my family. Do you hear me, Josh Davis? Not my family. Life is so busy and so much grabbing our attention, but I believe and try to practice that we can't live a full life the way God intends without being in proximity to him. We just can't do it. Not successfully. So how can you move closer to him? Can you change your focus of time, attention, or nearness to him? The next thing I want to talk about is friendship requires trust. For so many of us, that's a place of pain or fear, or you're like, yeah, I'm out. And I've been there. I get it. I've been there. I have a couple of relationships right now that I'm like, no thanks. But something that's so beautiful about being with Jesus in this area is he's so gentle. He's so patient. He gives us time and space to strengthen, to get strength in this and to practice. I'm currently in a role here at Christ Center, and I have been for a while that I have the opportunity to trust God for finances and just believe for his provision. And I've had lots of practice at this. It started when I was a kid. And I remember specifically, I was, I think, 11, and I felt like God was telling me to go on this particular outreach to Guatemala. I did not have the funds. I, you know, had a paper out and saved all my birthday money, but I didn't have the money. So I was asking God for his provision. And I was crying and praying and talking to my parents, and they were praying and just asking him to provide. And one night, I came home and I walked into our family's living room and I saw something on the table, and it was like a piece of paper sitting up. And in that moment, I knew the Lord had provided, and I knew I could trust him for his provision. And it was the last like $100 or something for my trip. But as an 11-year-old girl, he has been working with me and teaching me that he is my provider. I can trust him. Let's fast forward to last month. I was looking at Christ Center's income, our tithes and offerings, and we were down a decent amount. And it was like, oh boy. And I was sitting at my desk, and my mom would have said my tone was sassy. And I was like, well, God, you're going to have to make up $7,500 this month, and I don't know how you're going to do it. And I just walked away from my desk, right? Such good honor and awe and fearing the Lord there. No. And so I went about my day, and I've been praying about it. And I came back to my office late that afternoon, and there was a card on my desk. So I opened the card, and it was from a business owner in our community, and they just were thanking the staff for some specific things and just really, really kind, beautiful things. And in the card was a check, and I opened it up. Guess how much it was? $7,500 right there that day. Isn't that so cool how God provides? It's so cool. But if I wouldn't have had that 11-year-old girl experience, I couldn't have had this. And he's been so gentle with me and building trust in me. And I want to say that it's a beautiful way that he and I communicate. Like, it's a lot of fun. We laugh and just joke and like, God, I know you're going to do it and I have no idea. I'm not going to think about it again. There's times of that. But also, this has been a process. And I want to tell you, I have been many nights laying awake, stressed out of my mind. Like, I don't know what's going to happen. I got to figure this out. You know, taking it on myself rather than trusting him. And so it's not like I'm like just easily trust God. Like I've had to bump around and try to figure this out. But he wants us to show up, invites our whole self to these things and to just be honest. Like, I don't think my sassy attitude offended him for that $7,500. Like he already knew it had been taken care of. He already knew. But he's not like, oh, well, because you were sassy, I'm not going to provide for you. You know, I don't think he rolls that way. And he invites us to just be fully, fully honest. You know, there's several instances in the Bible, like Isaiah, the Lord said, come, let us reason together. Like they were working something out. And it was an invitation to him to come close, be there with him, and have a back and forth. Abraham was haggling with him. Can you imagine how much that conversation was back and forth? And he invites us. He wants that. He expects that of him. He is inviting us to a heart connection, into conversation, rather than just asking us for blind trust or obedience without that heart connection. Building friendship is give and take, and it takes time. And he has all the time in the world, and he longs for that with us. For those that don't know, my mom died of Alzheimer's a number of years ago. And one day, I knew this was part of her journey, like I could just tell. And I was mad. I was just like, God, what the heck? And I was at a friend's house. I was helping her on a project, and I was working away. And I was just ticked. And I'm just like, I don't get it. Like, why, you know, blah, 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 blah. I was mad. I was super mad. And then I'm like, and besides, I don't have kids. Who's going to take care of me? And I was just, you know, I'd fully shown up with all of my big emotions. And he said to me, where are you? And I'm like, what? What? And he's like, where are you? I'm like, well, I'm at my friend's house. Yeah. And he's, and so? And then it dawned on me that her kids were estranged from her. and she needed somebody to come and help her like what a kid would do. And I was there. And in that moment, it was like a newer, deeper level of trust. Like, honestly, I'd prefer him to give me like a 10 steps of, okay, this is what your future is going to be and how it's going to end and how it will be. But in that moment, I knew that I knew that I knew. He is there. His protection, his provision, his answers were there. And it just settled something in my heart that was really weighing on me, and that was really like causing me a lot of doubt and fear. And it's just that moment, I'll never forget it in a million years, how beautiful his help and trust was. So how is God calling you to trust him more deeply today? I just want to encourage you that it's scary and it's beautiful. It's messy and hard, but it's worth every single moment, every moment. So the third thing is that friendship with God requires vulnerability. Gross, right? This is not my favorite part about friendships and relationships, is being vulnerable. It's something that I've had to work on for most of my life, probably all of my life. And I'm going to always have to work on this because it's not natural for me. When I think about my friendship with Kathy, it's something that she and I each have to work on individually. I've known her since 1989, and we still have to bump along with this. Like, we had something this year even that we just had to talk through, like, hey, why are you holding back from me? And, you know, vice versa. And it's a beautiful part of our connection, is being vulnerable. But it takes work, and it takes effort, and it takes risk, and it's worth it. This vulnerability takes honesty with where you are, how you feel, and acknowledging that and not stuffing it down, or those areas where you maybe would rather keep hidden because they're embarrassing or shameful. But it's not hiding behind that like Instagram filter. It's about being real with God and your people. So back to my mom who had Alzheimer's, I remember one time her and I were at some ladies' event, and it just was so evident there that she was having trouble. And again, I was just crushed. I was driving home, and I was sobbing. Like, I probably should not have been driving. I was crying so hard and just so upset. And in that moment, again, the Lord heard all the big words, all the gut-wrenching stuff, and just like, because I was just heartbroken. But I had to like fully show up and not be like, oh, well, God's will be done, and barf. No, it's my mom. She's dying of this terrible disease. But being that gut level honest, and honestly in that journey, I had to do that a lot, where it's like, today I'm mad again. Tomorrow I might not be, but today I'm so mad. But in that drive from Junction City to Harrisburg, God met me after I said all the bad words, I said all the feelings, and he met me in a way that I don't know that I'd ever experienced before. I was willing to show up, be vulnerable, not pretend like I wasn't feeling this way, and he met me so beautifully. So friendship with God involves communication, prayer, listening, and a hunger to know his will, right? It's not one-sided. It's dynamic. It's beautiful. It's confusing. It's fun. It grows daily when you put effort and time into it, moment by moment, and it's just beautiful. Friendship with him changes us in the best way. True friends influence us, right? And friendship with God transforms us into his image. And it's so fun, such a fun, weird part of this journey. So the closer we walk with him, the more we look like him, the more we reflect his love, his mercy, his truth, his holiness, just all of those things. So I want to encourage you this week to set some time aside to not just pray, but to sit and listen and pay attention to what he is saying in that quiet. I want to ask, where is he inviting you to become more vulnerable? So when I was preparing for this, I was wanting somebody that I feel like really exemplifies this to just share what it looks like. And so I asked my girl Alicia to come and just talk about what a friendship with her, with Jesus, looks like. And so she is doing that, and I am so grateful.
I'm always so nervous when Janelle has her water right next to her computer. Alicia Orton, the reason you came to mind is you sort of carry yourself in a way that is very sort of easygoing, and you're easy to be friends with. And we thought, I bet she rolls with God this way. And Janelle mentioned three specific things: proximity, trust, and vulnerability. And so I want to ask you about your relationship with Jesus then. Can you tell us a little bit about proximity?
Yeah, so proximity, just spending time with Jesus. It used to be very legalistic, and I had some bad habits, and so I would actually think out in my mind. At one point, I calculated, like, there's 24 hours in a day, so if I spend 10% of my day with Jesus, that's 2 hours and 40 minutes. Well, I can't do that, so I'm only awake for, like, half the day. So I'm actually calculating it out, and it is life-draining, not life-giving when you do
that
it that
fun.
Way.
Sounds fun. Relationship via spreadsheet.
Yes,
I like it.
Yes, it was, yes. and so that's something that really, like, God and I have had to work through over the years. And he's so loving and gentle with it. But it's so different now in that there's no script for it. So some days it looks like I'm finding a quiet room in our house and I'm just sitting there with my Bible and just asking him, what do you want to say to me? What do you have for me? Or other days it's me in the morning down in my garden and just talking to him. And I just think, too, about, like, what it would have been like back when, like, he was walking with Adam and Eve in the garden, just having those times together of, like, Jesus, you're here with me. Like, you're walking with me in my garden. And we have a weekly ritual where on Saturday mornings I get up and I drive down to the local coffee shop, the drive-thru, and I turn on the Hobbit soundtrack in my car. And we drive down to the farm where we get milk, and I just spend the morning just talking to him and just asking him, like, who do you want me to pray for? Or just being with him, just appreciating the drive, and just, it's just him and I during that quiet time, just being together.
That's beautiful. So finding places where it's, because it's hard when you think about proximity with a God you can't see, but right, where you are intentionally moving toward, let's step up just a little bit, where you're intentionally moving toward God in spending time. That's beautiful. She also talked about trust. And you guys, you've shared a couple of times about this journey toward getting your house because you believe that God said, I have a house for you, and you went after it, and it took a long time. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, so this was probably 8 or 9 years ago now. Clint and I had been married for a few years. Caden was a year and a half. And we just kind of had a sense of, like, you know, it's time. Like, we want to expand. We just want to, you know, have more room. Not necessarily, like, a bigger house, but we just wanted to be out in the country. We just want to have more room to roam. And so we prayed about it. We really felt like God was like, yes, I'm in this. Go for it. And so we did all the normal things, getting our house ready to put on the market. And one Sunday after church, we decided to go for a drive out in the country, just about 10 minutes west of here. There was a property that had been on the market for a year, and it had just sat there. There wasn't a lot of information, and so Clint was like, well, let's just drive out there, and we'll just, you know, let's just go look at it. And so, not really thinking much of it, we drive out there, and there's a logging gate there, and so we get out, and we decide, well, we'll just walk up to the top to look. And so we start walking up this very long hill with me complaining the whole way. And we get to the top, and it opens up where you can, like, see it. And I can't explain the feeling to you other than it felt like I had stepped home in a place I had never been before. And I heard God so clearly say, this is your home. And So from that moment on, it was just, okay, this is it. Like, this is our home.
And so you moved in the next week.
No, we did not. So it ended up taking us 3 years to get this home. And throughout the process, we ran into every conceivable thing you could run into. And so every time I would go back to God and I'd be like, okay, like, are we done? Is this not? And every time he would say, this is your home. And so I'd be like, okay, I trust you then. You said this is our home. This is our home. And it took a long time, but he brought provision every time we ran into something.
You guys ran into a lot of stuff. I mean, you had to really fight for it. I remember you even sending in prayer requests to the office. Hey, this thing's happening. Can you please pray this? And you guys had moved in with your parents and all this stuff. So like it was you really had to fight for it, but you kept on believing because you had trust in him.
At one point, somebody else bought the property out from under us, and we ended up, actually, he sold it to us for an even better deal than what the original one. So we ran into time after time, but God had said, I'm in this. And so
he's shown himself to be trustworthy.
Yeah.
So in believing what he said, you've embraced that as a part of your friendship with God.
Yeah.
Janelle also mentioned vulnerability. Mm-hmm. You had a metaphor about vulnerability and friendship with God.
Yeah. So vulnerability is hard for me. I like things just to be neat and tidy and orderly, and emotions are not. And so I have a habit of, like when things come up, just kind of like push it down, just keep it like smile, God is good, everything's fine. And inside I would be panicking. And so one day I was just spending time with God and he gave me a picture. And in this picture, I'm walking along on this trail and I have a backpack on, and every once in a while I would stop and there'd be a big rock like on the trail. And so I'd stop and I would pick this rock up and I would put it in my backpack, and I would keep on walking a little bit further and there'd be another rock. So I'd stop and I'd pick this rock up and I put it in my backpack, and I keep doing this. And eventually my backpack starts getting really heavy and I am getting really frustrated at my backpack. And God just showed me, he said, Alicia, every time you come across those are the emotions. And you are picking this up and you are putting it in your backpack, because then it's disappeared, it's gone, it's not there anymore, you can't see it, except it really is. I'm carrying it. And so what he started walking me through is he said, I want you to start taking those rocks out of your backpack one at a time. And I want you to start looking at this rock and identifying it and saying, this rock is anger. I feel really angry right now because of X, Y, or Z, and take it to me and let me deal with this, and then set it down. And so we really did. We went through a process where we started taking those rocks out one by one and just working through them with me and God. And then he also showed me, and then once we had worked through that, when you're walking along and you see this rock and you pick it up, don't put it in your backpack. Don't carry it, because it didn't disappear. You might not see it, but it's still there. And so now...
No, it's fine. Everything's totally fine. God's good. Everything's fine.
It's totally fine.
There's a term for that. It's called spiritual bypassing. Somebody invented that term, and I love that term, because that is, we try to bypass the emotions by being super spiritual and going right to the answer. It's like, man, God's just so good. Everything's great. Like, I don't have any problem. And your back is killing you.
Right.
Yeah.
And so that's what he showed me now, is like when those emotions come, because they are going to, I pick it up and I look at it and I say, okay, God, this is what I am feeling. And I name it, and then I give it to him, and then we work through it, and he can set it down. And then I'm not carrying my backpack full of rocks being like, it's fine, nobody can see them, everything's fine.
The funny thing is God can see inside your backpack anyway.
Right, right. It's not
fooling anybody.
That's
the funny thing about like trying to hide something from God. It's like, you know, I can see your...
Yeah, no, nobody's fooled.
Yeah, but that's a beautiful thing. Having vulnerability with God is being willing to show him all the ugly stuff that you're carrying around.
Right, and trust that he does care about those things, and he wants me to bring them to him.
Absolutely. Thank you, Alicia.
You're welcome.
Alicia Orton.
Thank you, Alicia. I so love watching your relationship with Jesus, and I'm challenged, and thank you for sharing. So the worship team is going to play a song, and I just want to invite you to look at these three questions that we have up on the screen, and just consider, wow, that is tiny. Dude, that is so tiny, Jason. You know better than that.
Sorry.
Yeah, wow. I can't read that. But just to consider this while they're playing, and if you want, if that means you stand up and worship or just sit there and contemplate this, but let's just take a few minutes and ask the Lord some of these things.
Tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. In your presence, Lord, in the Holy Spirit, you are well. Come here, flood this place, fill the atmosphere. 'Cause your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord.
Alicia's going to be up here as well. I just want to encourage you that you aren't alone in this if this is a hard or a challenging thing for you. So come up and talk about it. I really feel like trust is a big one today. And if that's an area in your heart where you're just like, yeah, I can't or I won't, I want to encourage you, come up, get some prayer, and let's be honest with God this week about where we are, because He loves it, He wants it, He encourages it, and He's going to meet you. He's going to meet you. So today, as you go, be blessed. Lord, thank you that you do want to be friends with us. Thank you that you are trustworthy even when we don't know yet. And I ask, Lord, that you would just bless my family. Thank you for your goodness to us.